Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all my brothers and my sisters who are tuning in tonight. Mahalo for tuning in to the show. I'd like to give a shout out to the Berean and Friday Chapel boys up there at Halava, to my Wahiwa boys up there in Waiava, in Module 10 Cash Box program, and my FDC faithfuls, you know who you are, and to our good friends out there in Ogden, Utah, Virginia, Arizona, California, Seattle, and anywhere else that might be listening. You might be sitting at your dining table in Hawaii Kai, Waimanalo, Waianae, or you might still be stuck in that traffic going out to the west side. Either way, mahalo for tuning in tonight. Free Inside Ministry, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Honolulu Red Hill, has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in all of the facilities on Oahu. We also minister to our brothers in Saguaro, Arizona, and we'll be heading there shortly in the month of May. Mahalo to all of those who have joined us this evening. Feel free to check out our website, www.freeinsideministry.org, where you can find all of our programs in a podcast format to download for your listening enjoyment. We also have a Facebook page with the same name, Free Inside Ministry, and our email is freeinsideministry@gmail.com. Drop me a line, send me a suggestion, or let me know if this program has touched you. Our anchor verse is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11. And then it goes on to say in verses 12 to 14, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." Tonight's message is titled, "It Don't Make Sense." Everyone probably has a friend or two, maybe three, that you know they just off. Plain and simple, they just off. They do all kind of lolo stuff, and sometimes it's funny, but sometimes, more often than not, they end up getting made fun of. Ever have that happen to you when you was doing something and you thought it was okay, but then people started making fun of you, laughing? I guess that's where we got the term "make a" from. But sometimes it just don't make sense. We all do stuff that doesn't make sense. More so when you're married. Oh, take it easy, Lynette. What's really funny, and this happens all the time, what do so many of us do right about in December when it gets close to the end of the year and we're going to start a new year? We make a New Year's resolution. That's right. I know it's already March, but I was just wondering if anyone kept up the resolution that they made in December for January, but now it's March. And some of the popular choices when we make that resolutions would be, one, I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape, take better care of my temple that God gave me. Some of us might want to stop smoking, stop drinking. Some of us might want to stop drugging. Some of us might want to go back to school. Some of us say we want to be a better person, a better parent, better sibling, better grandparent. Some of us might want to get a job. Some of us might want to get a better job. So you see, it's with great anticipation. We get the countdown. You see the apple dropping or what have you, the countdown to midnight. And you know it's been a tough year, but you hope for something good in the new year. And they hope that our lives will be changed coming with the new year. But you got to realize sometimes the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. It's our heart. You see, because when that ball clicks down and it goes to 11:59 and we go countdown, countdown, at 12:01, nothing happens. You see, but the common thread that weaves us all together is that for the most part, I think everyone wants change. But nobody miraculously becomes in shape and loses 60 pounds in 1 minute. No one wins the lottery in 1 minute. And although we resolve to be a better person, we're still the same person we were 2 minutes before it was 12:01 on the 1st of January. But all hope is not lost. Nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of our living God, can change your heart. I can't make you change. Your spouse can't make you change. Your kids can't make you change. Even God can't make you change. He can't. Only you can make the change, but God will help you. But it's up to you to make that choice, to take a chance to change. God can help you if you really want him to. Reach out to him. But you see, what I wanted to get to tonight is I wanted to get to a few stories in the Bible where things just didn't make sense. And I know you've probably heard these about 100 times over, but let's take a look at it from a different point of view. And maybe you haven't heard it like this. If you have your swords with you, because that's what you need when you come to your Bible study, or when we're going to do this every 9:30 at night, Monday through Friday, bring your Bible, if you have one. I'm going to be in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament, chapter 5. And I'll read it from the Jesus book so we can enjoy the first story of the evening. One time, Jesus was by Gennesaret Lake. That's Galilee Lake, you know. And all the people went try to come close by him for hear what God had to say. He sparked 2 boats over there near the water. The fisher guys went go leave them over there. They stay washing the nets already. So Jesus, he go sit inside Simon's boat and go tell him to go out a little bit from the beach. Jesus sit down and he go teach all the people from where he stay in the water. When he pow teach, he go tell Simon, hey, Simon, go out where stay real deep and we go drop your nets. Simon tell him, boss, oh, we didn't work hard all night and only whitewash, nothing. Whew, but because you ain't say them, I gonna do them. So they go drop the nets and they catch uku pile of fish now. And the net went start for go broke. So they would make signs for the other brothers inside the other boats for come help them. The guys, they don't come and they fill up the boats now. And now both the boats so full, the boat started for sink. When Simon Peter see how much plenty fish they won't get, he go down on his knees in front of Jesus and say, hey, boss, go away from me, because I won't guide it. They do bad kind stuff. Simon and all the guys over there by him went blow their minds because they won't catch so much plenty fish. James and John, Zebedee's boys that work together with Simon fishing, they won't blow their minds too. Jesus tells Simon, no scared. The way you guys bring in the fish, I'm going to teach you guys how to bring in people for be my guys too. Right then and there, they pull their boats up on top of the beach, leave all the stuffs, and they go with Jesus. The word of our Lord. You see, the key verse in there is in verse 5. This is the key verse. Simon answered and said to him, in King James Version, he says, nevertheless, at your word. He said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. In the Jesus book, it says, because you ain't say them, I gonna do them. Now, you got to take a picture of this in your mindset. You have to visualize what's going on here. So let me paint that scene for you so you might have a better understanding of what's going on. What was Jesus by trade? Was he a fisherman? No, he was a carpenter. Were Simon, Peter, James, and John carpenters? No, they were the commercial fishermen. So they would kind of like, if it's your profession, you kind of know what you're doing. So if you had the carpenter walking up to you with his tool belt and his brand new Craftsman hammer and his new boots and his corduroy shorts and his hard hat, everything fresh out of the box, an FOB, and he's telling you, let's go fish, and you just went whitewash the whole night before and you're already washing your nets, what might you tell this individual? No. You see, but that's what's so interesting. Because Simon was obedient. And even though he knew that he had cast out the nets the night before, they caught absolutely nothing. What you have to remember is when he replied to Jesus and he says, but because you ain't say them, I gonna do them. Obedience. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to go fishing in the exact same spot where they had fished the night before and caught absolutely nothing after hours and hours and hours of laying their nets. They brought the boats into shore. They're washing the nets to prepare for the next evening's work. And someone's telling them, let's go fish. Bro, fish? We just went whitewash. What did I just tell you? We just went whitewash. Nothing. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Another interesting story in the Bible was a guy named Noah. He built something called the Ark. You see, Noah was pretty old. When you're 500 years old, I don't think you should be out building much of anything, but he built the Ark. And it took him almost 100 years to build the Ark. But you know, something about that is when the Lord commanded him. You know, if you read that in the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, God saw that human evil was out of control. People thought evil, imagined evil, 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 evil from morning to night. God was sorry that he had made the human race in the first place. It broke his heart. God said, I'll get rid of my ruined creation, make a clean sweep, people, animals, snakes, and bugs, and birds, the works I'm sorry I made them. But Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. This is the story of Noah. Noah was a good man. Noah was a man of integrity in his community. Noah walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. As far as God was concerned, the earth had become a sewer. There was violence everywhere. God took one look and saw how bad it was. Everyone corrupt and corrupting. Life itself corrupt to the core. God said to Noah, it's all over. It's the end of the human race. The violence is everywhere. I'm making a clean sweep. Build yourself a ship from teak wood. Make rooms in it. Coat it with pitch inside and out. Make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Build a roof for it. Put a window 18 inches from the top. Put a door on the side of the ship and make three decks, lower, middle, and upper. I'm going to bring a flood on the earth that will destroy everything alive under heaven. Total destruction. But I'm going to establish a covenant with you. You'll board the ship and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives will come on board with you. You are also to take two of each living creature, a male and a female, on board the ship to preserve their lives with you. Two of every species of bird, mammal, and reptile. Two of everything so as to preserve their lives. To preserve their lives along with yours. And also get all the food you'll need and store it up for you and them. I love the next verse. Noah did everything God commanded him to do. It goes on in chapter 7 to say, next, God said to Noah, now board the ship, you and all your family, out of everyone in this generation, you are the righteous one. Take on board with you seven pairs of every clean animal, a male and a female, one pair of every unclean animal, a male and a female, and seven pairs of every kind of bird, a male and a female, to ensure their survival on earth. In just 7 days, I will dump rain on earth for 40 days and 40 nights. I'll make a clean sweep of everything that I've made. In verse 5. Noah did everything God commanded him. I love that. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters covered the earth. Noah and his wife and sons and their wives boarded the ship to escape the flood. Clean and unclean animals, birds, and all crawling creatures came in pairs to Noah and to the ship, male and female, just as God had commanded. In 7 days, the floodwaters came. Now, did it make sense that Noah was building an ark for 100 years? That's like somebody building an ark up in Waianae Valley, in the top of Waianae Valley. Does that make sense? No, and this is for 100 years. But you see, Noah was obedient. It didn't have to make sense. The Lord had commanded him to do that. He didn't question God. He just did what he had to do. He followed the commands from God and did so down to the very last tiny detail. So here you have Simon Peter dropping his nets to catch fish when they washed the whole night before. But he was obedient to the word of the Lord. Now we have Noah. And Noah is there, building an ark, people probably laughing at him, wondering, what are you doing? And this thing was huge. It's not just like a little rowboat. This thing was the ark. It was huge. 45 feet high. That is the size of about 4.5 stories of a hotel. And it's 450 feet long. So 450 feet long, you got to figure that's at least 1.5 football fields, at least. 150 yards is 450 feet. So once again, Noah answered to the Lord what the Lord had him do, and it didn't make sense. Another situation in the Bible, some of you might remember, is the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. Isaac was a promise revealed by God. Isaac was a fulfillment of a promise God had made to Abraham that he was going to give him a son. Abraham was 100 years old when he had this son. Does that make sense? No, that does not make sense. So later, God tested Abraham's faith. As we look there in the story, Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. "Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed me." You see, none of it made sense. Not Simon in the boats to cast the nets in the deep water, not Moses to build an ark, and not for Abraham to sacrifice his only son. It didn't make sense. But you know what? God made sense out of it. The one thing that they all had in common was they were obedient to God, despite their situation. They didn't need to understand their situation. They didn't need to have a grasp of it. They didn't need to have an understanding of what was going on. What they needed and what they had was an obedience, a blind obedience, if you want, to their Lord and Savior, to their God. Because they know, just as it says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." You see, my brothers and my sisters, thank you for tuning once again to Free Inside Ministry this evening on 99.5. Religion looks good. It just doesn't work. You know, but with our Free Inside Ministry, what we do is we just come with the love of the Lord. We come with the Holy Spirit. We come with the living breath of God to share with you. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And it's not about a church. It's not about doctrine. It's not about memorizing verses. It's not about singing songs. It is about you and Jesus. And do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, what Simon, what Noah, and what Abraham all had was an ear for the Lord, and they were obedient to the words and the instructions given to them. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. You know, sometimes we get into situations, and we try to understand it from our own perception. You might be sitting at the edge of your bunk right now. You might be sitting on the edge of your bed in a facility, incarcerated right now. And you say, "Bully, it doesn't make sense." I might have to agree with you. There are times when things I am placed in and where I'm at, it doesn't make sense. But what I have to hold on to, what I have to cling to, what I have to know is the verses of the Lord, which are the truths, the promises of the Lord to me. And you have to know, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Not some things, not a few things. He says everything. For the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, a lot of times I tell people you need to pray more. You see, prayer gives you access. Prayer allows you to experience the presence of God, the promises of God, and the power of God. But you get that through prayer. You know, and like I always say, push, pray until something happens. A lot of times I tell people, you know, it's not about what you're doing. It's about what you're not doing. It's like you're not talking to God enough. Keep on asking and you receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, I always say, pray until something happens. Push, push, push. I tell people, you have to have more faith. They go, well, what is faith to you, Bula? Faith to me is, forsake all, I take him. F-A-I-T-H. What is faith, Bula? Forsake all, I take him. You see, it's about getting right with God. It's about being in the right place. We don't realize that we're all going to live for eternity. It's just a matter of where, heaven or hell. It's up to you. It really is. What I'm trying to tell you today is that sometimes when things don't make sense, God is going to make sense out of it. Imagine where you were 4 years ago or 5 years ago. You weren't where you are right now, hopefully. Things were a little different, but you didn't understand what was happening then. You're going to come to a point in your life when you see where the Lord has had his hand on your life all of these years. But things might be a little upside down right now. Things might be a little stressful. You might be in a situation right now. You might be stuck with not too many options. You might feel like the world is pulling you down. You might feel like things aren't going the way they're supposed to be going. You might want to think it's just time for change. But you see, sometimes you just got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And sometimes you just got to take that step of faith. You've got to get out of the safe zone and step into the faith zone. Maybe it's someplace that you've never been before. But, you know, you have to let go and let God. What have you got to lose? If you're in the bind right now and it's not going to get any better, let go and let God see what happens. He already said that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I just pray, wherever you may be right now, that if you really want to change, that you'll reach out to the Lord, that you'll talk to the Lord. And, you know, it's just between you and him. He just wants to hear you talking to him. See, there's too many times in our lives that we think we have to do things this way and that way, and we have people saying you have to do this procedure and that process. It's real easy. You open your mouth and you talk to God. And you know, the last thing I wanted to leave you with is a lot of times people are confused when they pray. Many of us know the Lord's Prayer. And I wanted to explain something about the Lord's Prayer very quickly before we close tonight. And it's going to give you a different understanding. It's going to give you a different take on the Lord's Prayer itself for those of us that know it. Our Father. Okay, our Father, that means our Heavenly Father. We're actually depicting a relationship. Father, position of leadership. Father means we are a descendant of Father. That means we're an heir to our Father because we are the Son if we're calling him our Father. Who art in heaven? We are placed in him. That is a statement of location. It is a statement of placement. We are placing him in heaven. Who art in heaven? So he's up in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not hallowed, not holy boy, hallowed. That's a very term of holiness. Hallowed be the name. His name is holy. His name is holy. We are in reverence of his name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is where it gets real interesting. Thy kingdom, not my kingdom, not your kingdom. Thy, that means it's all his. Thy kingdom come. Wait, it's going somewhere. It's not staying up there. Thy kingdom come. It's going where? Thy will be done. My will, your will, no, thy will, his will, our Father's will, our Heavenly Father's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Oh, this is a big one. This is a connective clause, on, that means it's coming here to earth. We're here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's happening in heaven is going to be happening on earth. How can that be, Bula? I don't know. That's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means simultaneously. That's the blessings in heaven can be the blessings on earth at any time right now. I want to leave you with that tonight. I want you to ponder on that. I want you to think about that. And you think about it real slow, because if we're supposed to be getting blessed already, Why aren't we getting blessed? I thought we had to go to heaven, Bula, to get blessed. Well, that's what a lot of people think. The blessings are all around us right now. Right as we speak, right as you're listening to me, and you're sitting on the edge of your bed saying, man, what are you talking about blessings? I'm locked up. Well, you know, sometimes blessings aren't bling. Sometimes blessings aren't cash. Sometimes blessings isn't a new car and a new home. Sometimes a blessing would be the stuff that used to control you that you now control. That is a huge blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Before, things that used to get angry, you get angry at, you don't get angry at anymore. That's a huge blessing. Things that used to bother you that don't bother you anymore, that's a blessing. Things that you were addicted to, you couldn't live without, now you can just look at it and laugh, that's a blessing. Things that you couldn't live without drinking before, now you can only drink water and laugh at everything else, that's a blessing. Things that make you be in an abusive relationship where you got to beat people all the time, where now you love on them, that's a blessing. Look at all those blessings the Lord has given upon you. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what the Lord has already given you and go from there. Just want to close tonight. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Wherever you're at, remember our website, www.freeinsideministry.org. Our email, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. Give us a note. Tell us how things are going. Just bless you tonight. Thank you. See you guys tomorrow night. Keep the Lord close to your heart. Talk to him tonight. Pray to him. Let him know how you're doing. He'd love to hear from you. Aloha and ahuio.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bula Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bula at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.